Welcome, welcome. We're ready again to talk about movies. And this segment, of course, is called Do It Yourself. And myself, I'm Vega Bomber, but I've also got my guest host with me. He is...
Juice. How you doing?
That's right. The juice is loose, straight up from Keith Comics. And so, you know how it is. You know how it is. You go to the movie sometime and you're thinking, wow, I can't wait for this movie. This movie I've been waiting for the last 2 or 3 years. And then the movie finally comes out. And you're a little disappointed. It wasn't quite what you expected. Well, we're actually connoisseurs of movies, and we're also connoisseurs of fixing stuff that needs to be fixed. And this time, we're talking about that movie called Godzilla. And I don't know about you, Juice, but I know I grew up watching that as a kid. I loved Godzilla.
Yes, Godzilla was one of my favorite films growing up, the older ones, of course, and until the 98 one came out, and that kind of ruined my childhood.
Right? Right? Episode 1, 2, and 3 have nothing on that 98 Godzilla movie.
You know?
Star Wars fans want to complain about 1, 2, and 3, but Godzilla 98 by itself, pretty bad. But first of all, we'll just tell everyone that this is spoilerific. So if you haven't seen the movie or if you're waiting for the DVD, which actually comes out this week, in fact, I think it may even come out today. If you haven't seen the movie, then you might want to just come back to this a little afterwards, because we're definitely going to get spoilerific on this thing. We're going to get all up in the crevice, all up in there. That's what we're going to do. So spoilers are definitely going to happen here today. So first of all, we usually like to do is start off with our overall opinion of the film, and then we'll talk about what didn't work and what we did kind of like about the film, and then, of course, then how we would rewrite it. So just the overall impressions, what did you think of this movie?
Overall, there were points in the movie that, I was satisfied at the end of the movie, but during watching it, it was a little frustrating in moments.
Yeah.
But overall, I was satisfied with, the film that the director put together.
Yeah. And, I was waiting for it, too. And this film was good to me, too. Overall, I will say this movie was a good film. It's actually out on DVD. I will buy the DVD now. Normally, I don't buy DVDs of movies I don't think I can watch at least 3 times. That's kind of the rule. But I think this movie will definitely do it. Now, saying that, it's certainly not without faults.
Right. Like any movie, it's not a perfect 10,
No.
What people think is, a 9 or a 10 mm-hmm, has some mm-hmm. points that are, faulty in the plots and script and character development and all that.
Absolutely. And this movie is I guess we'll start with just the positives. I actually like the take on it. I thought it was very smart the way they went about it, to actually put some of the focus on the humans in terms of caring about the characters. I mean, Godzilla's going to come in there and he's going to kick butt. You already know that. But what you see in the older Godzilla movies is that whenever they showed the human beings, it was just, what they were doing was just stupid in those movies. It was just really laughable if you try to watch it now. So I appreciated that Gareth Edwards, the director, said, well, let's give the humans something to do so that you can kind of care about this more than just having buildings being toppled over by big monsters, which we already saw in Pacific Rim.
Yeah, the main positive was the Bryan Cranston character. Mm-hmm. He, I think, held the first half of the movie together for me.
Yes, absolutely. Bryan Cranston was great, and if you don't remember who he is or if you don't know, he was Walter White or Heisenberg in that great series on AMC, Breaking Bad. That was great. So I was actually really, really glad to see him in this movie. And so I did like the idea of how they actually tried to explain how Godzilla came about, the origin of him, and I thought that was excellent that he was always there, and it was actually when we were dropping bombs on Hiroshima that we were trying to get rid of him rather than the bombs dropped at Hiroshima creating him through radioactivity. So I thought that was a
I think that was a good, iconic add-on to mm-hmm. the character mm-hmm. the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the visuals that they did going back showing the old film footage of just in time how it was. So, I mean, you got a real context for this film, and then it was somewhat believable that maybe some of this could happen. And so whenever you ground it in a bit of reality, something like Godzilla,
that big.
That's kind of a win. Yeah, something that's big. So I have to say that's why I do like this film. That's why I'm going to buy it. However, my goodness, though. There are definitely some things that we just got to do it ourselves and fix that I think would have been different. So, just for you, what was something that you would have fixed right off the bat?
To me, right off the bat was the Bryan Cranston character be getting killed off too early.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that that character was built to me to be connected to the audience, mm-hmm. and then they ended up in the first like 30 minutes or so, 25 minutes, killing him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either, because the main focus to that storyline is about how, you know, Bryan Cranston's character, Brody, loses his wife. And so there's the angst there. Right. And all you want to see is this guy, what you think's about to happen is that he's going to go on this arc of trying to, you know, fight the man, the government, to figure out what it was that they were trying to protect so much that ended up getting his wife killed. You thought that's what you were going to see, but no, no. Instead, we got to invite Kick-Ass in, Aaron Taylor Johnson's character,
right.
to all of a sudden add this supposed family dynamic of him not getting along with his dad because he thinks his dad is crazy because his dad keeps going on and on about all this radioactivity and right. echo sound chamber type stuff and all that mess.
Right.
So I was just thinking, why would you do that? You took all this emotional core piece of it, of him being upset, Bryan Cranston's.
You build that up, yeah.
Yeah, he's upset, his wife is killed, and now he wants some reparation for this.
Right.
But instead you just decide, no, we're gonna switch it on and make it a daddy-son thing, you know, to make us somehow care, because, you know, the setup is 'cause movie.
Right.
Because his son is in the military. And this is going to be most about the military and somehow fighting
Godzilla. The connection to the military, that's probably why they did that, to, you know, try to get some connection to why his son, you know, actually shows up in battles, or shows up him, you know, being with the military, and that's probably why they kind of shoehorned that in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought it was extremely lame to take it's paper thin.
Yes.
And because you would think that if you're going to spend all that time in the videos and in the trailers showing Bryan Cranston, and it's really about Aaron Johnson Taylor or whatever, then, it's kind of like it's a mixed message. You should have shown more of Aaron Taylor Johnson, but they knew, evidently, that Bryan Cranston was the real deal, because his scenes are what made people really excited about the movie.
Yes.
When it came down to talking about the humans. And then, of course, Ken Watanabe.
Okay, when I was, I did a very good job also. I mean, that would have been, later on in this discussion, we're going to talk about the fixes. That's one of the fixes I have in mind. The Ken Watanabe character, kind of adding, his viewpoint and his expertise in the film. I think that was a great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were casting that right. So they casted Bryan Cranston correctly. I think they casted Ken Watanabe as the Japanese, the scientist who was working with the government, but then also has his own understanding, Zen-like feeling about nature and balance and how things can balance themselves out.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing, but doesn't have quite the understanding that Bryan Cranston has of how the sound was actually the communication between the two Mudos.
Yes.
Yeah. So I thought that was intelligent, man. That was really, really good. That would make it pretty plausible.
Right.
You know, because you can't really take something half-baked now. We've seen Jurassic Park.
Right. You can't just do a thin little, plot and then, just feed it to the audience and then they're going to accept it. You know, so I think, you know, the Cranston character and Watanabe, their parts were great in the film. There were human interaction, not like, the bland Kick-Ass character. And then even his wife was bland, I think.
Elizabeth Olsen.
Elizabeth Olsen. Yes, I think, again, the actors in other movies I've seen, they're great, but in this movie they didn't have anything really, in my opinion, to do. Their characters weren't developed as...
Yeah.
Like other characters in the movie, the older characters.
Absolutely. I would say a huge weakness in this particular script is the idea that you want to kill off your best main human character so quickly to try to create some more a drama, but you already had the drama of the wife dying in the first 10, 15 minutes. So you already had the emotional appeal already there, so why you gave it to us then only to take it away and then confuse us by throwing him in there? I think that was just a fatal flaw.
A very fatal flaw. Yeah, that could have been like a top 10 classic film if the father would have gone through totally through the film and getting a better a climax for his wife, because he dies without actually knowing the full story.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
As a character, he's like his. you know, I think unsatisfied his death was. As Yoda would say.
Yeah, exactly like what Yoda would say. You know, and that's exactly right. And I would say, also a big part of the problem here, like some people had a problem with the tone of the movie. I didn't. It's a monster movie. And he's going to smash some things. So the tone should be a little dark. And it was dark for sure.
Right.
You know, but then the great part of it is it gets lighter at the end when you see the Godzilla is not a threat, but actually a good guy.
Right. But then the military keeps trying to attack it.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, because you would think the military would, now after, you know, 50, 60 years, mm-hmm. I mean, when the original one that came out in 1954, mm-hmm. You know, you can see that you know, the military wouldn't have that much intelligence, mm-hmm. That much knowledge. Mm-hmm. But now, after, you know, 60 years, 70 years, you would think there'd be some smart people in the military, especially the mm-hmm. the generals. You know, yeah. Maybe not the foot soldiers, mm-hmm. but the generals would have a better plan than mm-hmm. just nuke him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
destroy a whole city too. They were going to destroy a whole city.
Yeah, that was always questionable. That's that part where you try to throw in that part about, in almost these movies, the cliche, the thing that you can always count on is that the government's always trying to do this, come up with some kind of tomfoolery that's just going to, you know, they don't care about people. And it's like, no, they have families that live in that city as well and governors and stuff. So I don't think they'd be that heartless that they would say, yeah, we don't care if we're missing the, you know, the Western seaboard, if it's torn up. And it's like that cliche kind of gets old.
For this movie, that part was underdeveloped, I think.
Yeah, it was very, very underdeveloped. I mean, the government is going to try to do what they need to do to protect, but to always try to play like they've always got this sinister plan to try to just kill everything.
Right.
You know?
And that's the shade, if it was a corporation, then it'll mm-hmm. be a different thing. Maybe there's, mm-hmm. you know, and then you never, also now that we're talking about it, they never actually even talk to the president, do they?
Yeah, right.
He's the commander in chief.
Yeah.
You would think there'd be at least one scene with him talking to the president. That I remember.
And I don't remember if they were. And if there was a scene with them talking to the president, they didn't pick anybody who reminded you of the president. So you couldn't think of it, you know.
Yeah, so, right. Morgan Freeman, there should have been.
Somebody like that. You know, Jamie Foxx with some gray in his beard and everything, just sitting there. That might have been the way to go on that. But, yeah, I didn't quite get that. And then, of course, probably one of the bigger complaints for some people, and I would say maybe not so much myself, but they wanted more Godzilla in it.
Right.
And really, it just followed the way the 1954 movie went, where the idea is not to show you Godzilla every 10, 15 minutes, because then you kind of wear him out and, you know.
Well, you know, like you say, like the first time when you see it, I think it's, you know, well received when you've seen it there. Now, there are parts where it goes back to the TV, small TV screen, four or five times, maybe even six times.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, after the third or fourth time, it kind of got on my nerves.
Correct, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And like you said, like any movie, you want to see it again and again, you know, every month, every 2 months, every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I don't know. I don't know if you could probably going to be fast forwarding some parts, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe even like towards the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
The last 20 minutes, maybe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, like you always want it to be like a top 10 classic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to show it to your kids. This one, I don't think, you might show them parts of it here and there. And that's about it.
Yeah, it's true. It seems like the first act was good in terms of setting up Bryan Cranston and that family. For the first 30 minutes of the first act, it was pretty good. And then definitely the last 30 minutes in the third act is great. But it's that middle piece where it's like the scriptwriters just lost their damn mind.
Right.
It's like they almost didn't know what to do. They were just like, well, somehow we got to get the kid involved. Oh, he's in the army. Okay, so since he's in the army, then we got to, we need to kill Bryan Cranston. He's a specialist. He's a bomb specialist because there are no other bomb specialists in the army as many people have brought up before too. But it was just sloppy the way they just decided let's not only kill the mom in the first 10 minutes, but we'll have dad killed in the first 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to make this legacy all about young Aaron Taylor and his wife, Elizabeth Olsen, dealing with this whole idea of, dad's crazy. You need to go get him so he can be a part of this family since he doesn't have mom and needs to quit obsessing over mom. That just seemed too simple and too easy, and then you didn't care. There was no emotional drawstrings to them that made you want to care about it, but you definitely felt Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, but I think because when he was killed, I think you kind of checked out of the movie emotionally.
Yeah.
and you just wanted to, you know, when that happened, in my opinion, mm-hmm. you just wanted to, okay, now we're going to see the fight then, I guess, the mm-hmm. last, like, you know, 30 minutes of it.
Right.
And that kind of, you know, like I said, emotionally, it just took me out of the movie, you know.
Yeah.
And then of course it kept on, you know, cutting back to the news reports
yes.
and the TVs in the, that didn't add anything, emotionally, which they were trying to do. I think they would, you know, the script and that in several moments, it just failed. Both the army and then the emotional, you know, connection to the audience, it just mm-hmm. lost.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That part of it.
It's true, and when Godzilla was on the screen, he owned it. I mean, the very first time they showed him do the atomic roar, that was awesome.
Yes.
And then the first time he lit up to blow fire, the way they did it, like links at a time going up his back. It wasn't like it all lit up at one time and shot fire. It was
right,
like,
it built up.
When it came out, I thought, that was awesome. That whole reimagining of Godzilla's powers like that
was awesome.
Super. You
right.
know? And then, to your point, though, you're right. They'd cut back away from some awesomeness right. to show you what the men on the ground are doing, running around trying to figure out how they're going to fight this thing. But it didn't bother me in the first part of the film as much, but after they really started getting going, I really thought, come on, man, show Godzilla fighting a little bit more. This is really what we want to see. Although I did understand, now that's why I think from a rewatchability standpoint, mm-hmm. it'll be hard to watch the movie now that you know that it's a tease.
Right.
It'll be hard to want to sit there and watch.
And not fast forward.
And not want to fast
parts
forward.
Of it,
yeah.
Here and there, you know.
Yeah.
And then they add that scene. I think they added a scene like in the middle of a film where he helps a child get to his parents. I think again, they were trying mm-hmm. to get back the motive. I think they knew that the connection to the audience is lost. So mm-hmm. we're trying to get a connection to the younger mm-hmm. son, and not just the army, that he's part of the army, also get an emotional connection to the. To mm-hmm. the audience, which didn't work either.
Right.
So
right.
Several times, I think they knew that they needed to get a connection to the son, which, you know, maybe if it was written better, maybe a better actor maybe, mm-hmm. would have been able to do something with it. But they just couldn't, to me, it just, you know, totally lost me on that.
Yeah. And that is
that character.
That is a problem. The way the son was written, Aaron Taylor Johnson's character was, you know, also kick-ass in those kick-ass movies. For him to be the son of Bryan Cranston, and he's a military guy who's married to, Elizabeth Olsen, a nurse. Yeah, she's a nurse, and he's in the army. You're like, if you're going to focus on them, then you need to show us more about them. But we learned more about Bryan Cranston and his obsession with this whole
right.
thing and his wife than we did about them.
Right.
All we saw was some token scenes to show that he loved her and she joked back with him.
On the phone.
On the phone and all that stuff. They were trying to really build them up. Like,
I think we should have known that the Cranston character was going to die.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, there was foreshadowing there. They were trying scenes with them. They're, mm-hmm. I love you and mm-hmm. I miss you. I've been gone whatever amount of time. And mm-hmm. But now I'm heading back. And this time with my father, you know, stuff
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I think doesn't he go back for a while? But then he gets a call for his father has been arrested, so he has to travel to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it is? It's set up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was already, you know, back home, but then he gets the call back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they lost the opportunity when he was home. He was home a short time that you didn't have any, connections with the wife and the husband. And maybe Midale should have had maybe a couple more scenes with them, you know, to get a connection to the audience.
Right.
But then he's, you know, the next day he's traveling, the next night or the next morning he's traveling to Japan to get his father.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
what they had was they weren't very imaginative to show, they weren't, the script writers, whoever they were not able to imagine what would these two be doing normally because that's how boring they were.
Right.
Because really, you'd already done such a great job of building up Bryan Cranston and his angst towards
right.
the fact that his wife got killed and he had to watch her do it just seconds before the door shut to protect everyone else. And so that was a very gripping and touching scene.
Yes.
So the writers put themselves in a corner there
right.
because how do you make Aaron Taylor Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen's character worth a flip.
Right.
When you spent all that time building up this emotional piece in the front.
Right.
I mean, what could they possibly do? What trumps your mother dying, or in this case, Bryan Cranston's wife dying?
Right.
Trumps to that?
Yeah,
there
you're
isn't
right.
Anything.
Yeah, there isn't anything I can think of, in the script as written.
Yeah.
There might be some stuff that, like we'll talk about later, the fixes.
Yeah.
Which I think would work, in my opinion.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the problem part of it as well is, so you wonder why they even wrote themselves into that corner to do that in the first place. And if it was just to establish that Aaron Taylor Johnson's character was in the military, you could have done that a different way,
right.
A lot easier and not
it
need
just
that.
Didn't work. Right.
But they put the pressure on it for those two to be the winners now, because if the first two die, the parents die, and now it's up to the kids to try to save, even though he doesn't understand the science the way his dad does.
Right.
Because I thought that was another throwaway part when they're like, well, your dad was up to something. He was figuring something out. And then, of course, all he does is, like, for the movie's sake, they're like, oh, well, he was reading a book on sound chambers or whatever.
Oh, right,
the echo reverberation or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh, here's the quick little throwaway. I don't know science, but hey, my dad was reading this book about sound waves and echo chambers.
And then that's why they kind of throw a little morsel of that to connect the son to the book that his father was reading.
Yes, that will then help Ken Watanabe go, that's why he was reading that book, because of these sonar sounds he was hearing.
And then it made the connection to the sonars are, the love sounds of the creatures, the mutos.
Yeah, which they had to try to figure out, which I just thought that was just, again, less this lazy script writing there. You just didn't make us feel or care for their characters at all.
Right.
And then the problem, the angst between him and his father, that scene just wasn't very believable either when he's trying to say, come on, Dad, you're crazy, you're obsessed, just give it up.
Right.
He wasn't convincing that he really thought his dad was that crazy. He just seemed too just plain.
Too plain, generic.
He was too even keel. He didn't seem like...
Right.
I don't know. So to me,
maybe it was direction. Maybe it was direction. Mm-hmm. The director was too busy thinking overall the set pieces of the creatures fighting and not the motivation of the son connected to the father. I mean, it was, because the way they set it up, I guess the father, 15, 17 years spending time, studying, Echo and studying the tragic death of the wife. That he had no connection to the son. Then if he has no connection to the son and back and forth the son to the father, then you wouldn't have connection to that character, the son. And that another falter in maybe the director, maybe the writing of the script, maybe they took out a scene or two that would have added a better element to you. Maybe there's director's cut of Godzilla would be a better version of the human element.
It was too lame.
Bland.
I mean, it got overshadowed by, it's funny, the middle of the movie got overshadowed by Bryan Cranston's opening and Godzilla's closing of the movie.
Oh, yes.
Right? Those are the two best scenes in the movie Bryan Cranston and Godzilla, the bookends, but the stuff in the middle just, and then there were some good scenes in there, the way they held the suspense, which I thought was pretty good.
People complained about that, which you asked one of them. I mean, during watching it at the time, it did get on my nerves a couple of times or a few times that it cut away from the action.
Right.
Now maybe it was trying to build suspense, and some people, like that, and liked the build up of the final fights, the last 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, of it. You got invested in that, build up. But to me, one of the problems for me was it'll cut away, and kind of tease you. Maybe a couple times would be good, but then they did it like five or six times.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of, during watching it at the time, the cutaways got on my nerves.
Yeah. And they were easy to see, too, because they had done such a great job of explaining who he was, who Godzilla was at this point, and what they thought was going on. And then the Mutos, because at first you think there's just going to be one, but then you find out there's two now.
Yeah.
And they're trying to reproduce, and they're going to have babies, and so you definitely want to stop that. And so... pretty good, pretty decent.
That was decent, fun. And then the fight that they got, that Godzilla gets double teamed, that was pretty good, suspenseful scenes. because he was doing a good job with the one, but then when the second one shows up, it looks like he was going to get beaten for a little while.
Yeah.
For a second or two, you know. Even though the name was Godzilla, you never know, right?
And the idea that it's CGI is a good idea. I'm glad they didn't try to do a man in a rubber suit. So I'm glad they went with CGI, and then they had the right type of agency about it, right? They didn't try to say, let's just turn this into a CGI freak fest like what happened at the end of Man of Steel. Whereas Man of Steel was just CGI all over the place.
Right.
And they had CGI here, but they needed to use it. When they used it well, because Godzilla looked like a specimen.
Right.
I mean, he looked like something that could tear some stuff up.
Right.
And then the Mudos looked good, too. They looked like something.
The creature design was great.
Yes.
Yeah, on both ends, the Mudos and Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's some complaints about in Japan that he looked too fat.
Yeah.
You heard about those?
I did hear that.
But I didn't see it. I thought it was like you said, it looked like he was not fat. I think he was just like built.
Yeah.
You know, like, very well proportioned, in my opinion. So I think they did a good job on the design of it. You know, we not just talk about problems, talk about some of the good stuff.
Also. Yeah, absolutely. Because this movie is, again, it's truly got some great moments in it, and there's some great suspense. There's even a little bit of humor in there, but there's definitely some great Godzilla moments that you want to see. Like, for example, the fights. We've been talking about it. That fight at the end of the movie.
Yes.
Was worth it. That last 25 minutes, 20, 25, 30 minutes, whatever it was, it paid off for all that time you'd been waiting for. And when you see Godzilla go in there and he's fighting him, like you said, he gets double teamed, and then that moment where he grabs the one Mudo by the mouth, and you think...
Do you think he's gonna crack the jaws? Mm-hmm. And he actually just, put his atomic blast in it. That was a great scene.
Yes.
That was a great scene.
I mean, if you're a Godzilla fan, you had to be jumping up and down when you saw that. That had to be a nerd giggle, a nerdgasm, a nerd whatever when you saw that.
A mountain of nerdgasms.
Yes.
Because a volcanic.
Right? A volcanic nature, right?
Yeah, yes.
So when you see that, it just pays it off, and then the Godzilla is still there, and he's got his head in his hand.
Oh yes!
And I was like, man, that is awesome. That's just like David cutting off Goliath's head, and he's still holding it, after he's beaten Goliath.
Right.
So it was like this. That was incredible.
That was great. And then, another problem was the nuke where they were trying to the little boat, send it off to the, so it wanted to actually destroy the city because it was going to, explode. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was going to detonate.
It was going to detonate. So they were trying a little boat, and they're trying to put it down in the middle of the sea so it wouldn't destroy, the city, or at least, save as much as they can. Mm. That kind of, in my mind, didn't work in my mind because it was like a little boat. It would take X amount of time to get there to detonate, to explode. It just didn't work for me. I don't know about you.
No, it didn't. It didn't make any sense to, why would you have just a little bitty old tugboat out
That's
there?
That's all they had, I guess.
And again, it does remind you of Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, Dark Knight Rises, right.
Except for he's in the bat plane or the, whatever that thing was. I forgot what it was called already.
Is it called just the bat?
The bat, yeah, I think it was. And so, in that movie, Dark Knight Rises, which maybe we should do one on that one, at some point, because I know there's a lot of Batman fans out there, and we've already done Superman, so here we go. But in that movie, same thing. How does Batman get out of there in enough time before the nuclear splash? And here, how's a little tugboat going to get out of there in enough time? And then, of course, they have helicopters, and they come down, they save them and all that. So, yeah, it seemed like, again, all the good ideas were used up, and they just pieced something in there because they had to have an ending.
Right.
And so they
saved the young Ford for the sequel, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess he'll be a creature expert now instead of a military explosive expert.
Yeah, right.
He'll start studying whatever his father sees, father's papers, see what he was studying, and become an expert. Mm-hmm. And they call him in when there's other creatures show up. Mm-hmm. I can write the plot of the next one, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the next one should be fun. And I think the next one should probably have some of the already known characters that Godzilla used to fight or partner up with.
That's what they've said. They've said that they're going to have a few. Mm-hmm. We'll see if
they should, because, you got Rodan out there. You got Ghidorah out there. You got Mechagodzilla.
Right.
I would love to see any of those or any three of those.
Well, Mecha would kind of make sense because then I think, like anything else, the government's try to build something that can combat Godzilla, just in case he turns evil, right?
Yeah, just there in you case. Go. There you go. It's our contingency plan. It's like the Tower of Babylon, DC Comics, the Justice League, Batman has to come up with a contingency plan in case the Justice League ever goes rogue, right?
Right. Yeah, just like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They always have to come up
with. And, of course, with technology being the way that it is now, it would make sense that you would see a giant robot Godzilla. Because they would make one. I mean, right. We have a robot everything else.
Right.
So why not, you know?
Yep.
Maybe you could have Iron Man do a cameo on
that. Flying off.
This is the largest suit I've ever had to build. But hey, I'm rich because I had that contract to build it.
There you go.
With the government.
Now, the fixes, what's in your mind would be some of the fixes? Probably very little fixes, but...
You know. Yeah, and that's the thing about this episode, folks, because... there's not a whole lot of things you need to do to fix the movie. It's just that the couple of things that are wrong with it are so glaring that you can't not see it. It's like an auto wreck. You know, you see it, all these cars, you have to look, even though you're mad at everybody else for slowing down and slowing traffic.
You slow down too.
You're going to slow down too and look over, right? But I guess the fix is, so I would say when it relates to Cranston, Bryan Cranston's character, Brody, that's how much I remember the name of the characters. I think you don't need to kill him off. I think what's best for him, and the way I've been visualizing it, is that the rest of the movie should be about how he's got this terror against the government because of the government and because of the secret toxicity of things that they're hiding that really aren't toxic or whatever. His wife died, so what would he be doing, as brilliant as he is, to try to
expose
the government? And think about how fun this could be. What if Bryan Cranston learns to be the only one that knows how to communicate with Godzilla?
Yeah, that would be a good idea, a little different angle to the movie. And then you can, like you said, it would be an emotional arc for the character instead of him like kind of ending and not having that payoff for the character, you know, because he dies without, you know, being, you know, emotionally, you know, satisfied, in my view, as why his wife got killed. He probably would have not liked the answer to it, but you can see a little emotional arc to the character instead of just being killed off. So extend the Bryan Cranston character all through the movie. Maybe till the last, 5-10 minutes, maybe he would die. But you can see a little, then you can see the connection with Godzilla being the defender of Earth in some fashion. That would have been a better, I think, storyline, story plot, instead of, shoehorning the young military son.
Sure. Yeah, I see it as in Bryan Cranston, since he's studying echo chambers now and sound, and since Godzilla can make sound, it wouldn't be too far of a stretch to show that maybe he starts to figure out how to trap Godzilla, and then once he's tracked Godzilla and observed Godzilla, he's decided Godzilla's not a threat, so he's not afraid. And it'd have been cool to see him standing there trying to talk to Godzilla, trying to figure out some sort of contraption that would allow him to... like how the apes in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes can do sign language to communicate. You know, why isn't that maybe what Bryan Cranston's character does is he ends up learning how to tap on something,
and
Godzilla listens and hears the tap, and maybe you just show his head turning and he's listening and he's tracking, and he looks down. And then he sees that, he heard that.
Right.
And then he keeps tapping and trying to do things.
That would have been good.
And that turns, and Godzilla starts to look at it like he's trying to understand what's going on.
Right.
And he doesn't automatically start all of a sudden tapping back or doing like that. Right. But at least it would establish that, look, he's gotten somewhere further with Godzilla than maybe no one else has.
Right. And that would have been a better, you invest that character in the beginning, and then all through in the middle and even the end. And then the Kenan Watanabe character I thought was good too. And they should have kept him. So, I would delete, diminish the son a little bit, his role, and then, keep Cranston longer. Mm-hmm. So as an actor, he did a great job. So.
Ken's part was great, with him just the few lines that he did have, and I love just the intensity that he had on his face, that he didn't have to say a whole lot, but when he did talk, it was incredible.
Right.
Just the stuff that he said, like, nature's has a way of solving its own problem. Man thinks he can control nature, and the kind of deep, insightful Yoda type stuff he was saying.
Yeah, I mean that message in the movie. I think it was a good message. Mm-hmm. The director didn't pound it into you every mm-hmm. other scene mm-hmm. Like other directors tried to. So there was a little message in there. A lot of people say that there was no message. But there is a little bit of message, subconsciously, after you watch the movie.
Yeah, the whole nature of man trying to be a control freak.
Right.
Thinking he can control things that are above his own pay grade, if you will. Right. I mean, you're talking about nature here. These are forces of nature.
They're like hurricanes. You can't, control earthquakes.
Yeah, you can't control earthquakes, tornadoes, anything like that.
You try. Mm-hmm. You try to mitigate the damage on it or mm-hmm. with early... warning systems as much as you can to evacuate such situations. But right now, maybe in 100 years you will be able to control it, but not right now.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a nice little nod to put that in there, and then him telling the story, and he kept, what was it, the locket or something from his father who fought in a war or something like that.
I didn't get connected until I read some reviews on it. Where he was just showing, remember he showed it to the military guy, mm-hmm. the general,
mm-hmm.
the general. I think he was trying to make a point that the general didn't get, and then mm-hmm. I didn't get when I first saw it. And then somebody read a review that they kind of mentioned that in the reviewer's point of view is that, didn't you learn something used the bombs, USA used the bombs to destroy X amount of people, Hiroshima, mm-hmm. and you should learn from your mistakes. And the general didn't get that, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you got mm-hmm. that. That's why in my view.
That's
why he gave him the watch. Basically, this is my father's watch. Mm-hmm. He died in Hiroshima. Mm-hmm. And I think the general just didn't connect with that. And that's why I think he leaves. I think that scene mm-hmm. where he gives him the watch, tells him the story about his father dying, and this is his watch. And I say, Hiroshima, whatever. And he goes on to do something else. And, the doctor would try to be mm-hmm, character,
right.
Just leaves because he sees that there's no connection that he's trying to tell him that mm-hmm. Nuking is not the answer in this case. Not mm-hmm. only in other cases, but this case, no.
Right. Right. Because,
and then he's seen that the Muto characters are just eating up the radiation. It's like, it's like a sandwich to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, definitely, I think that's kind of the big fix there in terms of dealing with him. I think another fix in terms of the Godzilla scenes, people were saying that they wish they'd seen more of Godzilla. So, yeah, in some of those cut scenes, you probably didn't need to go away from the action to set up any more exposition because, you already have it. We already get it. It's like we realize that his son's in the military, so that means he's going to be involved in some of the fighting against some of the stuff that's going on.
Right.
And then you know that since he's doing that his wife and kid are going to be in jeopardy.
Right.
So you knew that just all kind of followed the standard.
But that was that cliche.
Storytelling. Yeah, it's very cliche. Very cliche. And they didn't try to do anything to hide that was going to happen. But I really think they missed that opportunity to not show Bryan Cranston figuring out a way to kind of connect with Godzilla.
Right.
Because, how awesome would that be if you had Godzilla on demand rather than expecting Godzilla to know when to show up every time something bad's going on?
Right.
I'm pretty sure they're going to say why Godzilla seems to know all the time, but it just would have been kind of cool. Because I think in the old Godzilla movies, the people tried to talk to Godzilla.
Tried
to work. Remember, it was certain songs, like these two twins that they would sing,
or
get Mothra to come and all this other stuff. So you can't have this big, giant monster that actually saves you that's considered a superhero that you can't talk to.
Right.
You can't build some sort of rapport
technology with him. And then talk to him.
What's good of Superman if nobody likes him or nobody can talk to him?
Talk
or Batman
to
or any of them.
Right.
So you can bridge that gap of saying, if we're going to see Godzilla as a big force of nature who also happens to be a good guy,
right,
then how can the humans then dial him up, if you will, without it being ridiculously cheesy,
right,
and then have it to be where it's that he understands sounds and tapping and he deciphers certain things, and that would have been kind of cool.
Right. Well, logically, they explained that whenever he's needed, he's going to show up. But I think it would have been better, like you said, like build up a technology way to communicate with him and be able to call him when he's needed. a little bit faster than him, because he, it took a while for him to, you know, to travel where the creatures are at. You know, he got tuned with it, with the echo, with the creatures, because they, the mating call that they were having. So that's one of the aspects that they, you know, and the second one, I don't know, sure, because in the first one, the Mutos had the echo and he heard it, Godzilla heard it, and that's what, you know, brought him back to, his slumber and going to attack them. But in the second one, how they're going to explain it is going to be another pulse. Where the creatures are just emitting, like, why would the creatures, you know, it doesn't, in the second one, I don't know how they're gonna, you know, bridge that gap where he's called out again, unless maybe they figure out a way to use the Muto, technology, quote unquote, for, the pulses, and then maybe build a machine, you know, the US government or Japanese government or whatever government, to save off the Godzilla, to call him back and help him out. Because is that, you know, evolutionary, why would you, as a creature, send out a pulse other than if you're going to, you know, mate, that will call out, you know, a creature that would destroy you? Does that make sense?
Sure.
Now, the first one, it made sense because maybe the creatures don't know and they're just doing an instinct to mate. And that's why they were sending out that pulse that Godzilla actually heard, and then now he's coming to destroy them. But if it happens a second time, it just could be a remake.
Right.
You know, I don't know how they're going to, but then that might write a good, you know, idea, of a creature, you know, showing up and then Godzilla coming to save Earth again, or creatures. So that's one of the, now that I'm thinking about it, that's one of the illogical parts, at least for a second time going around.
Right.
Or third time.
Well, I think since the Mutos are, both of them are dead, I don't think you have to worry about that.
It's but that's what I'm saying. Like when the other creatures show up, what caused Godzilla to come?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And that's where, if they'd have done it the way we're imagining it now, then it would make sense, because, you know, to get Batman to come out, you just put the bat signal in the sky. Superman just has super hearing, so he hears things and he goes. So, yeah, you need a system that's going to track Godzilla down so that you can get him, because that's the other thing, too. Right. Like, where's he going?
Right.
Somehow he's just going into the sea somewhere.
The sea, and then hibernates, I guess.
Yeah, so he sleeps underwater. He breathes underwater, I guess, as he breathes above water. So
he can probably hold his breath. I mean, a big old lungs on him, probably.
I guess. But, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of weird. So another fix there would be just don't cut away from the action.
Right.
Let him fight.
A little bit more.
No, just let him have a little bit more of the fight in there. Because that's what people want to see. They want to see, you know, Godzilla kick some butt.
Right.
But you just don't want to make it gratuitous where it's every 5 minutes. And so
right.
I think if you just, with the next one, when you set up, because there will be a second one, because this movie did do pretty
well
decently.
Worldwide. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to do, you know, X-Men numbers or Cap 2 numbers or even Guardians of the Galaxy numbers. But it, you know, did pretty decent. I think it was somewhere around 400, maybe 500 million. I don't know where it ended.
Some run area.
But I know it's in that area, and I think that's where
they're already planning on doing the second one.
Yeah.
So we'll see in about a couple years or so and see how that works out. And then I've heard rumors that they're actually going to do Skull Island, which is, King Kong.
Yeah.
And then maybe eventually do a King Kong movie, and then the next Godzilla, and then maybe the third film will be a Godzilla King Kong movie. At least that's what I've heard rumors are. We'll see how it develops in the next few years, but we'll see.
So I think that's what you'd have to do, and I guess in that third act you'd need to do something with the Aaron Taylor Johnson character and Elizabeth Olsen. I would think that you probably want to have them want to pick up the mantle, I guess, if you will, of now that they see the monster and believe that he's there.
Right.
Now they no longer have any reason to think their dad's crazy, because they've seen it for themselves now.
So that could set up the second film, right, with in terms of the human element and the connection to the first one and the second one. Again, that actor, Aaron Johnson, I think I've seen him in another movie, mostly Kick-Ass. And I think he's a good actor, but in this one he just didn't have, you know, well developed a character, you know, for the audience to connect to. Mm-hmm. And same thing with Elizabeth Olsen. Mm-hmm. Same thing. I think they were just like very paper thin, characters written very badly. And, I think they just concentrated on Cranston too much, which should have been, you know, the star of the movie other than Godzilla, mm-hmm. and at least a human star. Mm-hmm. And they're missing an opportunity, you know, why are you going to get a great actor like Cranston and then just kill him off? It just mm-hmm. doesn't make sense.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, and we kind of talked about that. The problem is I don't want to be a dead horse on that. I want to go back to the fixes. No, we're done with that.
Okay,
we're done. We're done with that. So let's stick with fixes. Because we're running pretty close to that time. So I think you'll find this movie more enjoyable if you can imagine Bryan Cranston moving into a space where we do find out that he gets some kind of revenge back on the government or something for letting his wife die. So I would like to have seen him get some sort of payback for that.
Some resolution on that end.
On that end, that would be nice. And then, of course, like we already said, we would like to see it if there was some kind of way to contact Godzilla and break that wall between man and beast.
And beast.
That would have been cool to see how they would have handled that and write that out, which I think you'd have to do it through the whole sound thing.
Right.
So that'd be good there. And then I think the other fix, I mean, the funny thing is you can't really fix the action because there was really great action really when action. You saw it.
Right.
So now it's more of a pacing issue of the film. So the film wasn't paced very well. It was paced kind of slow.
Like, you know, I saw, you know, people that I talked to about it when I first saw it said that, yeah, it was a little slow in the middle and then the pacing was a little slow. I could see why they were trying to do like a old 70s or 60s film where most of the time they're a little slow mm-hmm. and then they pay off. The action is mostly at the last 20 minutes, 15 minutes, depending on the movie. I've seen directors now, they have more buildup.
Mm-hmm.
But with any movie that has buildup, they have like those parts that sag.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. only 5-10 minutes, but it feels mm-hmm. like it's 20 minutes mm-hmm. in some cases, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the fixes. Maybe, like you said, like mm-hmm. Maybe a better editor mm-hmm. cut it up a little bit. Maybe work on the script a little bit, make it tighter.
Mm-hmm.
They added like added. They had scenes that felt like they were just there that, you know, trying to add emotional baggage to the characters or emotional connection to the audience that just didn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, so,
For example,
they cut, when they're cutting away to the, after the battle, mm-hmm. there's a hospital scene where there's a woman crying. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's a wife. His wife is crying, goes in and starts crying, mm-hmm. In a room. And then it's only like, you know, maybe a minute long, but I think they were trying to get a connection to the character, which it didn't work. You know, they could cut that out.
Mm-hmm.
A minute or two here, mm-hmm. And then cut, you know, instead of making it six times where they cut out the battle, maybe just do three times, you know, and then show a little bit more of the battle and don't cut away, to just a little TV screen where you see the humans, interact what they're watching in terms of the newscast.
Right.
Little tighter, 1-2 minutes here and there, it would make a difference.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not saying a whole 5-10 minute scene.
Right.
You know, here and there, I think it would have been a tighter movie, maybe a 9 or 10 instead of a 7 or an 8.
Right, right. Yeah, because I mean, this movie, in terms of rating, you know, I would have to say that, you know, I give it like maybe 8.5.
You give it an 8.5?
Yeah, 8.5 stars, just because I think it's still the best Godzilla movie made, now out of all other ones. And then the idea that they created some new concepts and different things about Godzilla, and it makes more sense the way they're going about it now.
Right.
That you could suspend belief and say, this is somewhat plausible, versus what we got in the 98.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't know how, the characterization didn't work.
Right.
And here you had good characterization, but it was just sloppy.
And they tried the 98 one, they tried to make some jokes here and there and just didn't fall flat. And this one, there was a little bit of humor, not too much. But I thought the humor kind of worked overall. The two or three times that they try to make a little light of it. Just a little bit.
And that's part of it too, you know, with the tone of the movie, it wouldn't have hurt if they would have shown like a very classic scene where they take something that would actually really be funny, and you can see people saying that had it really happened. So it's kind of like, you know, we've talked about this before, like, you know, in Gladiator, where, you know, the big burly guy is trying to protect Maximus, and so what he does is he eats the food first to see if there's any poison in it.
Right.
And then he acted like he was choking, like he was dying on it, and they all get serious, and it turns out to be a joke. And see, that was great humor to put in there.
Yeah.
And I think you should be able to do the same thing, you
with
know,
the Godzilla or any disaster movie, you know.
So I think that's probably the best. The only other thing I could think I would do to fix it is, I think if you look at the work being put in by the actors, the human actors, and then of course the CGI, and you tell the story slightly different, which they did, then you've got a good film, you just gotta fix your pacing, and then it'd be interesting to see who the next monster would have been. It would have been nice if they would have teased.
Oh yeah. Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just, you know, for example, if it was gonna be Mechagodzilla, then it would have been cool to just right towards the end when Godzilla's swimming off, and you think the movie's gonna go black screen and be done. Instead, it shows a scene
like 6 months later,
you know,
or something. Or
yeah, it does
later.
A quick little 6 months later, and all of a sudden, that's a good point. They show these people sitting in this
schematics or something.
Yeah, and they're looking at this thing and they're laying it down like plans.
Right.
And they're going, "How tall did you say it is?" And the guy says, 800 feet.
And we have to make it.
And it looks, it can be much more powerful. Than its predecessor.
Yes.
And they're talking like that, and then the camera just kind of pans down, and you see, you know, this big schematic that's really tall, and all the, you know, the tick marks and
the tick
all that
right,
stuff.
The size, the marks, and then you're human there, so you can see the scale.
And that would have been cool. And then you're teasing now that the next movie is going to have Mechagodzilla, and he doesn't have to be the only villain in that one. You can have Rodan coming in too,
right?
You know, that sort of thing. You can even do the a lot of times in Godzilla movies they have the tag team stuff, and you can have this here. You can have one more villain join Mechagodzilla,
right?
And then Godzilla and Rodan fighting against these two or something,
right? Like that.
Yeah, I mean, that'd have been nice to have a little Easter egg about the next one coming out.
Right. Because when these tentpole pole movies come out, you would think that they would have plans for at least the next movie. Maybe not three or four movies down the road, but have maybe some sense of what's to come, and then maybe tease it a little bit. But overall, like we said, it's a good movie. But there are little parts, like you said, like the tone was a little bit in the sag in the middle. It could have worked on that. But overall, it's a good movie.
Yeah, absolutely good movie. Like I said, it's coming out on DVD today, and I'm not gonna have any problem marching down and buying it, mainly because I'm pretty sure the extended scenes will make it worth it a little more too. Because I'm pretty sure by now they've heard all the criticisms. about the film, so they should know. And of course, our criticism is going to be posted up here pretty soon too of Godzilla, and they'll see. But yeah, I think that pretty much kind of gets us close to the end here on Godzilla. I was sending questions out there on the Twitterverse to find out what people might want to hear us break down and talk about next. And you know, I'm not afraid to break down a little Wolverine, the latest one, not the Origins one, but the Japanese one?
The one who went to Japan.
When he went to Japan, so that might not be a bad idea. Or, unless you folks want to see us go back and do an older film, which would be Dark Knight Rises. Because there's a lot of problems with that movie, even though a lot of people liked it as well. So, you know, let us know, you know, if you can find us, and here's how you need to find us. So, for me, Vega Bomber, you can find me on Vega Bomber at Twitter, also on YouTube, and also on the Facebook page. And if you heard this podcast on the JCU, then definitely let me know that you did that, and I'll let Jedi Cole know that, hey, people are spilling out all over talking about this stuff, and that's kind of good too. And then, if not that way, then definitely go talk to Juice over there, Keith's Comics, right?
Yes.
And you guys still getting Godzilla comics. Don't they still make those?
Yeah,
or
they
no?
still make some. Issue 2 or 3 of the next issue will be out this Wednesday, September 15th.
Okay.
Yes. Today is 15th, right?
Yeah.
16th.
Today's the
16th. Yeah, so 17th. Tomorrow, 17th.
Okay.
So, yeah, the new Godzilla issue 2 of Cataclysm will be out.
Cataclysm. Okay. So, yeah, so definitely, and you can find Juice in there, and definitely if you see Juice, tell him. Tell him what movie you think. If you want us to do Dark Knight Rises first and then do Wolverine, yeah, or if you'd rather hear Wolverine now and then we can get the Dark Knight later, we'll take a look at the responses from you and then we'll listen to you. We'll hear you so that you know we got you back. So yes. I think basically that's it. That's where we are. You can enjoy Godzilla. I think if we just wrapped it up, we'd say that Godzilla is definitely an enjoyable film. Again, there are some annoying pieces, which we've already talked a lot about tonight, but you will enjoy it. So if you haven't seen it, oops. Yeah. Oops. But if you have seen it, then go pick up the DVD. Yeah, watch it again and then see. You know, invite some people over and see if you think see if we covered it or see if you found out some other things that maybe we might have missed. Yes. So, you know, we got big brains over here about movies, but hey, that doesn't mean we saw it all.
Yeah.
So maybe you saw something we didn't see. So, for me, Vega Bomber, I am out and you can go check me out again on Facebook. You can also check me out on Twitter. You can also check me out on YouTube, on the YouTube channel. Subscribe and you can see a video presentation of this. And actually, Juice has been on there too as a co-host.
Yes.
So if you guys want to see more Juice, again, subscribe and tell us on the channel that that's what you want to see and we'll get him out there and talk some more, superheroes and, monsters that tear up things.
Yes.
That can talk through Echoes sound chambers or some mess like that.
Right.
Well, that's it for this edition of Do It Yourself. Again, I'm Vega Bomber and he's
Juice.
And we are out of here blowing up.